Are you really ready? Are we all ready?
Strapped in, Beltaloda.
Hello, Beltaloda. We come at you from Shodasing. Shodasing live.
I'm slingshotting. Even though my chair is exactly stationary.
Yeah, I guess you'd be sitting in the chair. The chair, you wouldn't be moving, really. You'd be strapped in. Well, that's a picture.
That's the thumbnail.
Yeah. Chris looking like he's having a fit or something.
I like how the wacky slingshot dude is being hailed as a kind of daredevil
pioneer,
hero.
Pioneer.
Yeah, like... the thing I do like about the Belters is that they just kind of... They don't stand on ceremony, right? Like, they're very anarchistic in their spirit, at least. And they are kind of making anarchy a lot more like
make anarchy great again.
Sort of, yeah.
There should be an acronym for that.
There should be, but the it's already taken, and
And I think it better. We're recording, yeah. We are
recording.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to record this show?
Yeah, I think we might as well.
I thought yeah. Oh,
okay. Stick it up on Twitter, see if anybody watches.
See if it gets any views, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know you've just renamed your PeerTube to the Polar Bear Extended Universe, but if you're going to keep saying Shows a Ting
has to be the,
come on, the branding's already done for you. You could just lift it off, right?
See, it feels like I'm maybe stealing it, you know?
Stealing it, yeah.
Yeah.
We're pirates. Like
we are legitimate salvage. Yeah, yeah.
See, yeah.
No, that thing about like treating him as a hero. I think there's truth. Like when you look into like historical figures who are just known for like they threw the first bomb kind of thing, and you look into them and they're kind of just fucking idiots who were, you know, right place, right time, did a stupid thing, but it somehow worked out kind of thing.
Well, like Stonewall or something like that.
There's a lot of stuff like that in the American Civil War and the Revolutionary War. There's like a lot of the people who sort of remembered. They're just like, yeah.
I mean, that could have been Luigi Mangione. He just seems a lot more put together than your average shooter.
I mean, he is politically all over the place, as you know, which I think the media is really fucking struggling with. I think leftists sometimes struggle with this, but like most people are politically, especially in America, more so. I mean, everywhere, but more so in America. All over the fucking map in terms of, you know, their beliefs and stuff, because people are complex. They have complex.
See, the way I put it down, I know this is an overly simplistic thing, but like when you're trying to like, you know, categorize normal people who are not ideologically minded, who've not read a bit of theory in their life, I tend to think of left versus right, basically in its rawest terms, as advocacy for working class proletariat versus advocacy for hierarchical power structures, bourgeois interests, royal family, so etc.
People versus structures. Yeah. If you read some theory, you decide what parts of what structures you're interested in, if at all. And
It's a very, very. It's condensing everything down into a slogan, effectively. But you know, that's kind of where I am with a lot of political movements. How I imagine them, in a way, you know, of just like. To me, like, the idea of feminism is really just women's advocacy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, you know, call it, you know, and same thing for various, like, civil rights movements. It's like, because I think, like, the democratic part of my brain, and I say democrat meaning someone who believes in democracy, not the ones that are opening the door for fascism right now, right? It's not like everyone should be allowed to advocate for themselves, right? That should be some sort of, like, what's the term that the founding fathers used? Self...
Termination.
No. It's like a self, like a inalienable right. It's a self something. Something like a universal kind of right is that, you know, you should be able to, like, you know, that's not to say you should get, and everyone should get everything they want. Obviously, that's impossible. But everyone should at least be able to put their interests forward at the table, right? Like,
but not on an individual basis, because that's absurd and insane. It has to be
part of society. It has to be,
yeah. Like, I mean, in terms of swathes of big groups like that. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just closing all the doors that Peanut opened to make a big draft go right through the house.
It's like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just off.
Yeah, that's he's now lying down on the couch. Being a good boy.
But I also would like a packet of prawn cocktail crisps, and that's my now new political ideology.
I've not had any prawn cocktail for a while. They've got this other flavor.
Struggling. I'm going to kill my VPN and rejoin because my Jitsi's struggling.
Okay. Always killing the VPN.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need the VPN for this.
No, mine's all right actually. Mine tends to be. But I'm going to have to switch around when he comes back in.
Yeah. Wow. He's a nuisance. He's an absolute nuisance.
Drew's turn for the faff. Drew can hold the faff.
Oh, everybody's the viewers getting a view of the whole background now.
Oh yeah. So can you see the little what I've done here? This is a cool little editing thing that I think this little thing here right by the chair. You probably know what this is.
Yeah, what it was. Yeah,
what it was. But rather than try and edit it out, I've just desaturated it so it doesn't look like guts.
Smart, yeah.
Desaturating or color shifting or any of that kind of stuff is like a secret weapon of editing. Like you can blend something in the background. You don't have to smudge it or you don't have to clone it or nothing like that. Sometimes, if you just make it the right color,
just de-emphasize it. Yeah.
Are you going to bounce then, Chris? Are you going to bounce?
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about what a nuisance you were, Drew.
I caught the end of it, and you're not wrong.
Okay.
Welcome back, Beltaloda.
Now, you were going to say something, weren't you, Hamish?
I was, and I've probably forgotten what it was now.
Cause... Yeah, like three things happened since that.
Yeah, more things have happened since then. Mm. The dog's done things, Drew's done things.
I did one thing.
You did a thing.
Slingshot Hero.
Yeah, let's get back to him. You're still not going to say his name, are you? You're supposed to remember his name. That's the whole point.
No, we don't do names.
Maneo.
We do like folklorey names like Slingshot Hero and
Slingshot. President
Man.
President Man.
Yeah.
Former President Man.
I mean, what was his name? I'll write it down in my notes.
Who, Maneo?
Maneo, there we go.
Maneo with a wee accent above the E, I think.
Are you writing in UTF-8?
No. Oh, I probably am, but like I'm not doing the fancy keyboards.
You're writing in ASCII.
Yes.
Okay.
Maneo, what's it like? I don't want to get it wrong because it makes
Oh
me
my
sound
god,
great.
It's a big long name if you want it.
Plus okay, we'll just call it Maneo's good enough. Okay, and Slingshot Guy. All right, Maneo. There we go. Folk Hero. Also, I need to make my tab width up to 4. Okay. Or, yes.
But I imagine if you travel back in time and found the historical basis for Robin Hood, the character or the people who were the composer or whatever, like, you know, if they existed, then they were probably just dicks. You know what I mean?
Either dicks or... Yeah.
Like, but why are you holding that up, Hamish?
Just so you guys can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, we go. Yeah.
Scene?
Yeah. Two blue ticks.
Yeah.
You know, ever since last night, this is my new toy.
You're playing with. Now I understand. I get it.
That's
cool.
For the benefit of anyone who wasn't there last night, we were playing a game where we had to give our answers. We had to write down our answers and show them to the camera because we were playing a party game, and I have dry wipe cards.
Wits and wages.
Yeah, I have dry wipe cards, and I was using it, and I was absolutely smitten with. I think it's going to be until it annoys Chris and Drew so much that they tell me to fucking stop it. I think it's going to be something that's going to come up.
That's all right. I like it. It's good. It makes it feel like we've done some more prep than we actually have. It's a prop.
We always like.
Should I not have it? I mean, we've got the backgrounds.
So long as it's just ad hoc, it's fine.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Although there's a great, I can't even remember where I found this video. I don't know if it's posted on Fedi or it was a YouTube recommendation, but it was, it's called something like How to Speak or something to that effect, right?
Always wondered.
Was it for toddlers?
actually, it was for university professors.
Okay.
It was an MIT, you know how MIT.
How'd you get to be a university professor and you've never got that far? I mean, come on.
Well, actually, they explain that in the video, and it's kind of amazing. Basically, this guy in one of the he does something to do with computers in MIT.
We don't know anything about does them, so we just computers. Have to say that. You know.
Yeah, but you know how MIT put all their so MIT put all their YouTube videos up on, and I was gonna say I learned how to fly a fighter jet from those videos. None of it went in. I did.
How many buttons do you think it would need in a
six? A obviously, because that's
like three or four, like a stick, and then three or four buttons, right?
I'm
glad we agree. Carry on with your point
So, but basically, this guy who's doing a video that basically describes how a good lecture is put together and some of his techniques, and he does a lot of things he does a lot of things that really make you think in terms of how presentation works. But one of the things that he absolutely swears by is like the chalkboard, whiteboard presentation medium, because there's a theory called learning with empathy or empathic learning or something like that, where if you can imagine yourself writing on the chalkboard, it eases it into the memory a bit better. And that's where props also come in, because like even small props, he was just using an example. He had a very basic example where he just used blocks to represent a concept.
I know what you mean.
Two over here.
Isn't that one of the things that who was it used to do the lectures? Forgot his freaking name. The Christmas lectures.
They were a different person each time, weren't they? Wasn't a particular.
Oh, sometimes they were, but there was one person that did a lot of them. But so we'll say, go with the Christmas lectures.
Isaac Newton.
We'll start with.
You thinking of the King's Speech?
No.
The King's Speech?
You mean the Queen's Speech, obviously.
The Queen's Speech.
Anyway, maybe a man queen now, but that's not
that. Still a queen, I guess.
Yeah, the royal family have transitioned.
Right. So, HP has the royal warrant. And it says, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. So...
There you go.
HP is a brand you can trust when it comes to brands.
Exactly.
Is it the best brand source? I think so.
Yeah. The best off the shelf.
Gold Star's the best brown sauce.
Oh, is that a communist one?
It might be. Scottish, I know that. You guys don't know Gold Star brown sauce?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
Really, it's HP or Daddy's, and Daddy's is just like...
Got sugar in it. It's got a lot of sugar in it.
Down. A lot of sugar, a lot of vinegar,
HP is good. You can, it's good to use it in like things like a little bit of cooking. Also, I've started putting a little dollop of Marmite in a lot of sauces that I make just to give
Marmite's great. I eat canned stews a lot. And like they can kind of be a bit weak, a bit watery. And like, dollop of Marmite really makes it taste meaty and good. Bovril will do the same, but Marmite's,
You're going a bit Bovril fast there. Are the G's racking up for you, Hamish?
I've just discovered that it doesn't look like the real thing, but no, it is. It's the real thing.
I was going to object to what you were saying, Chris.
Gold Star's apparently Gold Star sauce is apparently available in Tesco.
That sounds like a good video, but like that kind of thing, it makes me think of like how to draw videos, and what you end up is everybody learns to draw the same way, and everybody ends up drawing the same, and it robs. And I think with that, I think it's the professionalization, the PMC class taking over everything, and that's being seen to be the legitimate way to like structure things. So you teach you, it's basically, it's an averaging out. Like a thing like that can teach a bad teacher to be a decent teacher. But if that becomes the structure you have to use for a lesson, then really, really talented teachers are brought down.
I was about to say that's what makes a good lecturer, a good teacher, whatever. What you remember them for is their own way of doing things, their own presentation.
Being good at anything creative, which encompasses, I'm not just talking like creative is very broad, is knowing how and when to break the rules. If you follow the rules, you will be mediocre. That's good enough sometimes. But if you want to be amazing at something, it's about breaking the rules in the right way at the right times, and that doesn't come from you know, learning to do it in a set way.
That's a good point. Yeah, you make it. If we're talking about, say, you were talking, Chris, about the difference between like PeerTube and YouTube, and that although a lot of the videos are crossed over, but there is a thing about PeerTube still feels quite punk.
Yeah,
because people aren't all trying to do it a certain way. Because that's the thing that makes YouTube really homogenized and dull. Mm. It's all the thumbnails look the fucking same.
Oh yeah,
you know, just a different, slightly different white face going on the videos.
The Mr. Beast thumbnails style, rather.
And you know, the same. They all end up using the same software, the same editing tools, the same captioning software, the same. Picking the same sponsors, the same style of breaking up scenes. Yeah. It's all the same. Yeah,
it's conventionalized. It is. Yeah. It's professionalized in a broad sense. Professionalized, conventionalized, HRized, PMCized. Yeah.
Well, this is why I think the video is actually sort of does actually break away from that, because the lecture's for already practicing lecturers. It's not how to be a lecturer, and it's more like a tips vid, you know, like
I get the idea of props and
that sounds like a fine video, but I think going too far, I mean, this is how we end up with, like, every time I see, like, I'm a new artist, like, it all looks like fucking anime now, all anybody can draw is fucking anime, like, it's depressing, like, I want
But
individualism in that sense.
Yeah, I mean the crux of what I remember of it, because it was a long video, was props are good because they help people, you know, with empathize, right? And writing is good, again, for the similar reason. But he did say some things that are bad, which a lot of university lecturers that I've watched, even when I was at university, did, which was the slideshow presentation. Like, he made a big argument against the slideshow presentation, because the thing is, he says it's okay if you want to reveal a piece of information, but it's very bad if you've got notes on it and you're going through it, because you're just like, here's a thing, remember it, here's another thing, remember
it. Slideshow things not excellent.
But if you're going to do that, your better off option is just to print out notes and give them to everyone, and then be like, "Here's some supplementary notes."
I think that very much depends. But I will say,
I can give you the link to the video. We can review.
I'll watch that. Yeah, but another thing I think is people learn very differently.
Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah,
I think kids just inherently, I love learning. Kids inherently love learning, but most of school, you know, the classes were boring. Mm-hmm. But the classes I liked were the stern teachers. They weren't trying to be fun. They weren't like, let's make learning fun. Like, if you can give me a lot of information very quickly, that's fun for me. I don't need you to be cheerful and make jokes. And I like the teachers who would just fucking dictate, basically, just dictate at us and expect us to take notes on the important bits. And it was at our discretion. Which is an active thing, and it means you're understanding it. Yeah, just the teachers most people fucking hate, just the ones that would lecture at you. That's what I liked. The teachers who were like, let's make learning fun. Here's an activity that, like, it's just wasting my fucking time. Just get to the point, please.
See,
six-year-old Drew being a wee prick in your class.
Oh, no, what? I fucking... Yeah. But other people, complete opposite. They need that kind of, like...
Yeah, different people need different ways. That's what's wrong with schooling.
I think these kind of things, these tips things... I'm not that one in particular. I'm not pissing... I've not watched it. But I think they can lead to, like, you know, catering to the average... rather than, I think, again, a good teacher is able to accommodate both. Really good teacher.
Pick out the bits of that
they
like is still...
What kind of students you've got in your class. Give them, you know, individual attention where they need it.
This is, again, a homogenization problem, because you're talking about slideshows. What we're really talking about is one specific type of slideshow software which become ubiquitous, you know. And that's another
problem. Point.
I know. Yeah, that was that was my point.
That was the word you would ominously...
The point is that, you know, because it was made, well, whoever the fuck they bought it from and made it part of their office suite, that is the thing that became the way to show things in business meetings, and it became wider and then all the open source stuff that came along just aped it, and it's not, nobody's really, well, there are other programs out there for presentations and things that are better, but people use that, and I think I said it on this show, it's like the problem is people spend a lot of money on, say, a word processor thinking it's going to make them Shakespeare. You know, they've got the best tools, so then they're going to do the best writing. And I think that's the problem with it, like, generally with, like, the Office Suite
okay,
type
so
programs.
Here's my... I agree with you a lot on that one.
You know, oh, I've got the right tool, so I must
that's be... That's part of that connoisseur internet. Like I said, when I started smoking a pipe, and you get on the pipe, you can go deep, and, like, people
the
are like, you know...
subreddit.
You can deepen your pipe.
You know, if you're not paying this much for a pipe, you might as well not bother. And you need like eight pipes on constant rotation. Use them once a month and then let them rest for like, that's like, shut the fuck up. My granddad smoked a pipe until it burned out and then bought another pipe. Like, it's shut the fuck up. You know, the tea thing the other night, it's got to water's got to be there. Just make your fucking tea and drink. And I think a bit of that is like, oh, yeah, no, if I spend 6 months researching the best writing tools, then I'm going to be such a good, you know, and then you get the right tools.
Yeah. And you could have spent 6 months writing instead, you know.
And the secret to doing anything, ultimately, you can't learn it from a video. You can learn how to do it in a very mediocre way from a video, but the secret to anything is practice. It's just start doing it and do it a lot.
I've heard people that writers that say that, say, you know, how do you become a successful writer? And you'll get all these charlatans that will do the sort of you need to do this, but then most of them are going to go
with writing. You end up with these videos about this is how you structure a story. This is the qualities your character should have. So you, again, it's a homogenization. It's like every story has the same fucking structure.
Dan Brown,
same character.
You just reminded me of something that I remember from school. I can't remember what year it was in school.
That's not to piss on theory. Like, learning the theory, that's a good idea. And
as you say, you need to know the rules to break the rules. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I remember one essay that I did. Don't know, probably first or second year at high school or something. Round about that time, anyway. It wasn't deeply into high school, and it might have been the tail end of primary school. Anyway, point is, I wrote this thing, and I wrote things the way I always write things, which is
wrote the thing.
Just to, I just sort of, you know, I have ideas, and once I get an idea, I'll just start doing it. And I don't like editing and rewriting. I hate that. So I will literally rub out a whole sentence as I'm going and everything. I'll you know, I'm a bit frantic. But then when I hand it in and I got a good mark on this particular essay, and he says, oh, this shows a lot of careful planning and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, you know. It wasn't me doing what you think it was, but I know what you're saying.
Being practiced at something just makes you good at it. And it looks
actually,
like,
that kind of reminds me, there's a video on YouTube called Why Do TikTokers Hold the Microphone or something like that, which talked about how, I don't even know if you sent it to me, Drew, or it just came, like,
you've mentioned it to me before.
Where it's like, it never used to be a done thing, the holding up the lavalier mic like that, or da-da, and it's just like, that's not how you use it. But fuck it, now everyone does it. And it's like,
oh, you know, another one that annoys me of those, and I've seen it in, like, I was going to say professional videos, but I've seen it in a lot of what I would call semi-professional rather than professional, as in big companies, product presentations and stuff will use it. So, like, it's not really professional as in the art form of video, you know, of TV or film or whatever, but in, again, business-style videos. And it's that thing of having a second, you know, they'll have a two-camera setup, and they'll show the footage from the other camera while the person's addressing a different camera.
Oh, God, do you know, they did, this is so weird to me, I totally get you, because they did, you know, Mass Effect 2 did a series of videos where characters in the game were doing just that. They were doing an interview to front-facing camera, and then it's flipped to a camera to the side, right? Mm. Sort of parody. And it's like, your CGI, like, CGI, you don't need to do that. It's so weird. It's like, there's a weird uncanny valley
about it. They're obviously taking, you know, either they think that's clever or they're taking the piss out of it. One of the two.
I think there's a bit of taking the piss, but like, I hope there is, because it's weird if not.
Yeah.
But it's taking the piss, I think.
Thought I heard earlier when you were talking, so you know on YouTube people are self-censoring now, like sex, drugs, violence, anything. Anything that's controversial in the news, like Gaza, Israel.
Oh,
like,
for beep's sake.
They're self-censoring. they'll beep it or just blank out the middle of the word. I think we should normalize on PeerTube doing that for words like PowerPoint. Just like self-censor anything that related to anything corporate,
I tried to, but Chris wrenched it out. It was an elephant in the room type thing, and I did expect one of you to say it.
We just start saying power.
palette point.
Well, no, I mean, presentation program's fine, you know. Slideshow presentation. Yeah.
Microsoft presentation program. That kind of reminds.
What kind of socialist nightmare is this?
One of my favorite YouTube videos is the Count Censored, which I'm sure I've posted in the group.
You linked it the other day. Yeah. That's great.
It's one of my. For some reason, it just tickles me every single time I watch.
Very
it.
Very funny. Yeah.
And I'm assuming I'm assuming that's beeping out words that aren't the aren't.
Yeah. He's beeping out the word count. Oh, so he talks about how he really loves to beep.
Right. Like, yeah.
Oh, but the thing is, the song itself must have been written with that kind in mind because it works. Horrendously well.
I think the Muppets people have that sense of humor.
Yeah.
It has to be like it has to be at least partially by design. Because
You watch the Thundercats outtakes that I posted in response to that?
Oh God, I haven't. No.
No, there's just the great. It's genuine outtakes. Outtakes.
Yeah.
And there's a great bit where Mumra just says in Mumra's voice, "I'd like to see your tits, my dear." I'd love that every single fucking time.
Okay. Anyway, Slingshot Boy.
Okay.
Oh no, we don't. We don't see any more of Slingshot Boy. Maneo. We're not going to hear about him again in the whole.
What were you going to say, Hamish?
Oh, nothing. Just an old man moan.
Oh God, what you moaning?
Oh, we've not had one of those in a while.
No, it was just a quick one. It was just I was going to click that link that you put up. Well, I did click the link you put up. Not the link. I clicked on the video and it wouldn't play remotely, so I just didn't see it.
Mm. Oh, YouTube are doing that a lot more these days.
It claimed. Hang on, because I'm going to tell you what it actually said.
See, I never click them. I never click them in Discord. I always open them in my browser.
Generally, I do, but
well, I don't know if it's YouTube. I try not to.
Oh no, I'm fine. Yeah.
On my phone, it's doing that all the time. I don't even bother on my phone.
Yeah, it's getting worse than Firefox as well. YouTube is getting artificially. I'm sure it's all artificial. Like, it's not remembering my places.
Definitely, because I reckon they pushed the need. Like they're judging how far away they can make it inconvenience without losing users. Because there was about a couple of weeks ago where it was just basically stonewalling me on everything, and then it's like with YouTube DL, because I use YouTube DL quite a lot. Mm. It was like I had to use. Like I think even at one point, like because I've got a shortcut key that I can switch VPN servers. Mm. So if something doesn't work on a VPN, I can just do Control-Alt-V, boom, new VPN. And then I can try again with something like YouTube DL from a different IP address and from a different server. And there was a couple of weeks ago, it was just like, no. Mm. And it softened up since then. So I think they were adjusting or they're working out how difficult to make it for me without me actually.
I think they're prepping. First of all, yeah, they always make it shitter in Firefox intentionally. I think they're also prepping for. I think they want to get it absolutely right before they launch it full on. But they're prepping for a complete ban on ad blockers on YouTube or a complete subversion of ad blockers on YouTube. In which case, I will just not use YouTube anymore. That's fine.
Yeah, well, this is why I didn't go there, because I'm not going to go to their website and give them the clicks.
Mm-hmm.
So the most they're going to get is me using the embedded. And what it says is video unavailable. Playback on other websites has been disabled by the video owner. That's what it says. No, I don't believe that for a second. I'm pretty sure that's been disabled by Google.
Out of interest, let me see if it plays for me.
It does. There is an option, I think, in the YouTube thing that allows you. But why would you ever choose that?
Why
I don't
would
know.
You actively choose it? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I insist that my videos are watched on YouTube. Like, unless you're farming for comments or something like that.
Well, do you maybe not get the ad revenue if it's not viewed on?
No, you get the ad revenue. You get the the pre-rolls make up like 90% of ad revenue.
I get the same error. That is amazing. So they've basically broken embedding.
Mm.
Intentionally. Yeah, anyway, Maneo. Sorry, no.
Oh,
Slingshot Boy.
Maneo?
Slingshot Boy.
Maneo.
So yeah, at the end of the. So it does look like it's a gate. Oh yeah, because they were talking about he should have packed. Right, so they're on the godly ship with the godly contingent.
The Behemoth. Oh, right, sorry.
UNN thingadoodle.
Beacon
Thomas Prince.
Thank you. Couldn't remember that. Yeah. I knew it was a boring name. for a boring ship full of boring people.
Hey, I got I don't even know if I should actually say that's memory or whether or not I've just flipped around and seen it.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you the still that actually made me think of the Thomas Prince, because it is kind of weirdly lucky, actually. But they're talking about how he pancakes.
Ah, right, yeah.
How he should have pancaked, but yeah, like it looked like the ship just basically immediately stopped.
Yeah.
And then Mineo kept going.
Yeah.
And then we see that at the end of the episode where it's like, we're going to go through the gate, even though... Oh, yeah, because they were talking about the ship disappeared, right? It went... Like, they've established that it's a gate because the ship didn't come out the other side of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that doesn't necessarily mean it's a gate, but that, yeah, it didn't come out the other side, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a ring, like a ring.
It's not, yeah.
Like that. It's not like that at all, no.
It's not that. No.
So obviously, as a last-ditch resort, I mean, what the fuck? So, there are some villains at play here that were like, I feel like a little bit of throwback to the first season, where it's like there's bad guys doing bad things, but we don't quite know who they're doing.
What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got the bomb lady.
Mm.
And I did go back and rewatch that, and yeah, definitely they made it very clear it was a bomb. It's for some reason.
I think the exact wording on it is something like moldable plastic explosives, caution, or something.
Yeah, but then the guy goes, "Oh my god, a bomb! What are you doing?" And for some reason, I was like, "Nah, that's proto molecule. It is."
I mean, it could be a proto molecule bomb,
a dirty bomb.
It looked blue. Yeah.
It was only blue in the panel, I think. Oh, it looked blue. It looked beige brown in the actual.
Mm. Well, we know what it did now, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It went boom. It went boom.
It went boom.
So it did. Yeah,
definitely a bomb. It had bomb written on it.
It was Wile E. Coyote. Yeah, TNT written on it.
I was going to get to that. Yeah.
J.C. Denton came in and went, "Oh, a bomb!
a bomb!"
Yeah. So it's And then there's the really like awkward and creepy drone operator guy on the Rossi,
who looks like
he's
Chris.
He's awful. Yeah,
it looks far too much like.
I mean, if you cut your face off from just below your glasses, you've not got that horrible. You don't have that horrific expression all the time. Yeah.
Also, the way that his face is irritating, and we've established that that is scientific fact at this point.
Chronology.
But also the way he moves his hands is very magician-y, and that's another reason to hate him.
Yeah.
Now, is it because he's blind and he doesn't actually know what a twat he looks like?
I mean, it's possible.
No, sorry to any blind. We've got blind viewers.
Like,
so,
I'm not immediately being. Only him, right? Not blind people in general. That's not a generalisation. That's just
What
him.
About a Chinese person that's blind?
All blind people look like
Chris.
No, I'd like the extra.
Chris unbelievable.
Is like Chris the is extra. Such a prat.
I mean, we're already established.
Even the sort of the augmented line things on his arms, they don't. They're weird. They're not. But I suppose they don't want them to look sort of blue and glowy, because that would make it look like.
I love that every now and then there's a character that irritates one of us, and like with DeGraff with me, but like this one, all three of us, completely irrationally, all three of us are like, well, he's a cunt.
those the fingers.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking finger markings.
Yeah, but it's all up his arm as well, and it's like just sort of raised, sort of.
I mean, it's circuitry of some sort, isn't it?
But also, like, the woman... so he switches out, like, one of those little RAM things.
Yeah, he switches it aboard.
Which I assume... Not important, but, like, I assume... But with CPUs and stuff, we're going to hit a limit of how many electrons we can force how quickly through certain blah, blah, blah. And also, electrons are quite big, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought they were really small.
Well, I mean, they're very small.
They're very small, but they're...
I think they're about the size of a pea. and I think that like there's an argument for if we went to photons, then they'd be able to like blah blah blah. So I shouldn't, and they look like they're photonic, right? These, because you know, you plug them in and they light up, and I think they're supposed to imply that we've gone to photons. I think it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, a little detail that where something, another thing they've thought about. I think
fiber optics.
Well, no, because that's just about carrying a signal.
Okay, is that photonic using, though?
Yeah. I think the word would apply there. Yeah, but basically CPUs that
this is not a science podcast
that use photons instead of electrons because photons are about the size of a grain of rice, is my understanding, as opposed to an electron.
So this bomb woman, like, I don't even know if she's acting on her own in her own thoughts, because,
well, I mean, there's a big clue that she's part of something in this episode.
Oh, absolutely, because she's crying when she goes, the guy was a good, like, because the guy was like a legit, like, the guy that she
he
killed
seemed really nice. Yeah,
yeah,
because he was trying to look after her in the job and everything.
He reminded me a bit of Hamish, both visually and in terms of demeanor.
I get that.
No, no, he was Hamish-y. Really, oh no,
he was really, yeah. No, he had Hamish-y vibes, I think.
Nice, yeah. This is a
big,
wholesome,
a big, cuddly, like handsome, big, cuddly man who you'd love to spoon or be spooned by.
Wise as well, you know, like wise, you know. And he wasn't like a creep or nothing, you know, like he was, you know.
No.
So, yeah.
Because I think there was a moment where you thought it might go that way, like creepy, like, you know, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. But it doesn't. It's very much not that.
Although I think Hamish has a bit more work ethic.
No,
I think he had a work ethic.
Yeah, well, he was like drinking on the job, hangover on the job. Well,
you know, that's fine.
I don't think Hamish would be morally objection to drinking on the job, but especially if it's just basic maintenance or something. Yeah, you know, have a sniff. Why not? But I don't think Hamish would do it. I don't know, Hamish. Have you ever been drunk on the job?
That sounds like something else. When you say on the job. I don't know. I can't remember anything.
I've been drunk at work.
I've been hungover at work, definitely.
I've been hungover. I'm sure I've been. I don't know actually, because like when I was younger, I used to drink a lot. Like hangovers used to go a lot quicker.
That's true.
I didn't get hangovers when I was young.
All right for some.
Well, when you're very young, you don't really, do you?
No. I mean, I stopped drinking at 22, so maybe I just stopped drinking.
By that point, by that point, we're still in the no hangover zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was a bit later. I think I stopped drinking at like...
Anyway, I'm just going to grab, speaking of drink, I'm going to grab a drink. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. I think I stopped drinking about 24, 25. But by then, the hangovers, they were the straw that broke... Well, they were like... There was one time, and I think that was like you can't do this again. It was so bad. And it certainly, it put me on the, like, because it's not just like,
yeah, well,
because it's like they don't get better with age, you know, they only get worse. So I was like, you know what, you know, and also, and this, I still don't remember how I ever ended up doing this. One night, I spent £400 at a Wetherspoons, and this was over 10 years ago. This wasn't even today's Wetherspoons. £400.
Yeah.
£400.
You were buying other people drinks, I would imagine.
Well, obviously. Like, yeah. I think it's £400 or £200. I can't remember now, but I pulled out.
I mean, either way.
Like, either way. But I pulled out a receipt going, oh, and it was like a lot. And I go, oh, I do kind of remember that. I pulled out another receipt. I was like, oh shit, I don't remember that one. And I was like, oh, is this, did I just get two copies of the same receipt? And I was like, nope, they are slightly different amounts, but they were both triple figured amounts. God, I can't remember now. Was it 400? It might just be £200. I think £400 is a lot. But yeah, I must have bought the whole fucking bar drinks.
Right, where were we? Bomber leaving.
So there's a bad guy afoot. Like, so, and I think, there's a Chris theory, that The drone operator on the Rosinante and the bomb lady are perhaps both
in cahoots?
Both working for, not necessarily in cahoots with each other, okay. But they're both working for Protogen, but this version, not Protogen as in the actual company, but the bad company, whoever the bad company are.
I get you.
It could be OPA. It could be an OPA faction.
Well,
Black Sky.
Why would the OPA use Holden as the patsy when they can?
For some reason, really want to discredit Holden. Mm. It would make sense, but this doesn't seem to work out well for the OPA.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It might even be someone anti-OPA. Then that would be.
Mm.
I mean, it might be a faction. It might be a faction within the OPA that are like, I don't like this state building project that we're doing. I want to sabotage it.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible. Yeah.
But you got to poker face that one, I guess, haven't you? I don't know. Like, and I think I know that I don't know, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, I know that we do not have the information as of yet to determine it. But then the guy that, because the thing is as well, like I think the red herring or the bait and switch is that the drone guy is on the Rosinante and he's in just as much danger as Holden. So we're supposed to think,
he may have been given instructions and not known what the
and know not what they were. But also that woman who killed the guy, the bomb woman, she didn't want to kill that guy. She was like tear running down her eye. She was obviously doing something. Against her will, like there's some kind of coercion or control or something like that.
Well, she didn't want to kill him to do what she was set out to do. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And also, I never really paid attention to this watching it before, but I don't think that I don't think the intention was even to kill people on that ship as much as it was to damage and disable the ship because it's still going. Mm. But the engines have been damaged, destroyed.
Well, the important bit is the video where Holden's taking responsibility.
Yeah, that's the big important thing.
What happens to that ship is not. Yeah, it's just let's do a thing and then blame Holden for it.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, it could be the case that this is the proto molecule at work trying to protect the ring.
That doesn't seem like how the proto molecule would operate.
Ah, allow me to. Oh, bullshit! No, so in this episode, Miller and Holden are having one of their weird conversations, and he's saying, "You take people places. I find things. We come together.
I'm a tool. I'm a tool that finds things. You're a tool that goes places.
Yeah, and Lady is a tool that blows things up. Second. And." Drone operator is a tool that switches RAM. Mm.
And I like that bit Miller goes at the end of that. Miller goes, "We're both tools." Which I love that. Whatever he is, he's still got a sense of humor.
He's still got Miller. Yeah. Mm. I was going to say that there's a big difference between the way that Miller and Holden are being manipulated, if you like, by the protomolecule intelligence or whatever. Then what happened with the other two? The other two aren't acting the same way. They're not being vague. They're being very direct and
clearly the protomolecule doesn't have like a very in-depth understanding of like human psychology and how humans behave. But I don't think it would have enough understanding of the way people work to orchestrate
to just say here do that. This thing.
Yeah. But just while we're at sort of on Miller, a couple of little clues about Miller when Holden reviews the security footage, he sees proof that this thing isn't appearing objectively physically, and also the little bit where he looks in the mirror, and then there's a little flicker. And then the thing, and then Miller's face appears in the mirror.
It's like, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Oh, that we need this as well.
I love that bit. I think that bit's really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the protomolecule knows or doesn't know enough that to see that it should be a reflection, but then, the suggestion is, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
It's a little bit like AI, isn't it? Where it's like it's almost right, but actually quite wrong.
Hmm.
Like it's
learning and realizing. It's like, Holden's seeing this. I'm here. There should be a reflection of me there. There we go. It's learning as it goes. Yeah,
which is a bit more specific than a like a hallucination.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because I assumed this is proto molecule at work, and I think you're talking as if that's a given.
I mean that's a pretty safe assumption. Yeah, I mean, A, what else would it be? And B, we know what happened to Miller. Like, I don't think it's spoilery to link this to proto molecule.
There's
a very meaningful cut to the little bit of proto molecule that's still on the Rossi.
Yeah,
which I said earlier on doesn't seem to have a purpose later on, but no, it does, and it's this.
Yeah, I meant to say that in the last two episodes that I thought that was relevant, and you the one that fucking beat me to the punch there. But like, yeah, no,
sorry.
But yeah, there is proto on the ship. So, but is this to the extent it makes the Rossi a sort of a conduit for the proto molecule then of sorts?
That would be my assumption because the proto molecule talks to the other proto molecules. It's kind of like having a radio, a radio station in your, you know.
I think without being teleological, I think what's implied by the way it cuts to that when it cuts to that is that like it's an antenna between
it's a Wi-Fi receiver.
Yeah, but then with the close proximity of the proto molecule, could that have something to do with the drone guy? You know, could he be so the proto molecule can manipulate drone guy to do things?
I mean, feasibly, yeah, but there doesn't seem to be any
indication of that.
That doesn't seem to me
like I say. Him and Melba seem to be acting in a very definite way. Miller and Holden are having like a sort of vague conversation that's making clues and stuff. You know, I'm seeing a letter H. It's all very fucking, you know, charlatany.
Like, if the proto molecule had enough understanding of how people work to do that stuff, then it would be able to say to Holden, just go slowly into the ring, where it's trying to find something in Miller's experience that communicates that idea, and it doesn't really understand how to communicate directly. It can't just make Miller go in slowly.
So that's what makes it look like the proto molecule has bugger all to do with these two.
Yeah. I mean, I know you can't answer this question, but what was the thing that shut the Rossi down, right?
That was the hacking.
That was the hacking thing that the drone guy done.
He replaces some of the computer
gubbins,
guts, yeah.
So that presumably manipulated video of James Holden.
Well, what my assumption is with that, I mean, this is pure assumption. There's no spoiler intended here or anything. Mm. Is that was like a virus on a disk type thing, where it got in, messed with certain systems on the ship, and also implanted that video into the communication system.
Mm. Mm. The video having been pre-prepared.
Yeah.
Because the news organization that Drone Guy would work for, I'm thinking the woman, Monica, she seems like she's just interested in the kudos of covering James Holden.
Yeah. She even says that, we're going to win so many awards.
But she doesn't seem to be involved.
Yeah.
No,
she seems genuinely shocked by it all when it happens. But
Drone Guy seems a bit more sinister in this regard.
Well, I said that last time. It was, you know, as well as being a glacket bastard,
he's a baddie because he's got a stupid twat face.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's also glacket. Yeah, it's a Scottish thing. Glacket.
What was it? Yeah, can we have a translation?
Just what you said, you know, that.
Oh, right, okay.
you demonstrated it. Gonya Glickett bastard. Oh, right. Oh, man, it's like he's in the room.
I hate like myself.
Mime artist, sort of, almost. I'm gonna make a cuppa.
Okay.
Don't be interesting for a few moments.
Interesting. Right, Chris, you've got to, oh, you're too late. You were supposed to react as if I was very interesting, or make it like you were talking, and I would go.
But I actually saw something actually interesting. Well, actually interesting. So I'll put up another thing. It's probably, it doesn't probably mean anything to the plot, but I have noticed and you might need to crane your head a little bit for this one. They've redone the Ross. The Rocinante is written on the ship. It is no longer the Penis Contorta.
Well, it never had it written on it, I don't think.
It didn't, but that is new writing. That's new writing.
Yeah, because they did take it off, yeah. Well, remember the 6 months and they're trying to make it legit and all that. That's
so. Are we, is it because they say in the show that it's the Rossi now.
Yeah, it's official sort of thing.
So I'm going to remove Penis Contorta from.
Yeah,
from
I think that was a temporary spy ship thing. I think.
Yeah.
However you want to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
But I like, I mean, they chose a nice font. I like the font.
I wonder if they put the, the little pin-up style thing.
I don't see any pin-up because that's probably,
I
think that's probably not going to help their case. Or it may, I mean, they want to look as little like pirates as possible, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, that's what he says. They say that they're also a regular working, hang on, Drew's back.
Yeah. Hello. Oh, that was such a witty thing you said there. Yeah, oh my God.
That's my Boxing Day dinner.
Right, very good.
Got some,
I could smell, when I was out with Peanut before the show, I could smell somebody was having some really nice, and I was like, oh man.
Got roast beef, Yorkshire puddings, roast potatoes, bread sauce, some turkey, some stewed red cabbage, some cauliflower cheese, some pigs in blankets, and some carrots.
Now, I would kill you for the pigs and blankets, I'll tell you that much. With Christmas being cancelled, that's kind of like the one thing I've missed for sure.
My sister roasted the cauliflower and it was really good.
Well, you're both sick bastards for saying anything about cauliflower, but other than that,
I love cauliflower. Cauliflower is amazing.
Pigs and blankets are only key for me there.
I only turned around on cauliflower a couple of months ago. I've always hated it, but I try it every now and then. And yeah, cauliflower cheese, I love now.
Oh, and I do barbecue cauliflower. Yeah, you can, if you roast up some cauliflower with smoked paprika and like a barbecue sauce, onions, garlic kind of thing, you can make basically like cauliflower wings. You could do it in a hunter sauce or like a Korean barbecue sauce, but I always find that Korean barbecue sauces are a bit like intense in their flavor. So like if I'm doing Korean sort of stuff, I tone it down, which I'm sure is sacrilege to lovers of Korean barbecue. It's a great take. Like the flavors are just amazing. But
how is it intense? Like two flavors?
It's like rich. Like so it's like you have a few bites and you don't necessarily feel full, but you feel like your palate is
I know what you mean.
Like it's like eating a spoonful of Marmite or something. It's just eating an OXO cube. It's just like you know, it's got like an intensity to it. I don't think I remember it ever being particularly hot with a bit of zing, but I would order it more in restaurants, but yeah, it's just super strong flavor wise. And
I know what you mean, flavors that can be just overwhelming.
Yeah, and maybe that's just a cultural thing because, you know, us in Britain are very much known for underspicing our foods.
But at the same time, the stereotype about going out on a Friday and ordering the hottest possible, the Tinderloo.
The Vindaloo, you mean, not the Tinderloo?
No, the Tinderloo.
What's the Tinderloo?
Like Vindaloo, but times 1,000.
Oh, I mean, I've had a Vindaloo
Tinder,
a couple of times.
Tinder as in like an ember, like burn, you know, a burning thing. Yeah, it's heat with no flavor, you know. The stupid hot sauces that are just like designed to cook you. Like, yeah, it's very, very hot, but there's no flavor.
Yeah, I mean, there's in cities, like I went to Cardiff and they have like a posh food shop, Tinderbox. And it's like it's ridiculously expensive, but I often go there for gifts. Like it's great for gifts. Like there's fancy cheeses, there's fancy sauces and stuff, and they do it. Beer snobs type beers and things like that. Like if you want something that you know is it, like a beer snob or a cheese snob will at least appreciate, then you could probably find something in there. They've got like really good staff as well, but they have some hot sauces that are both strong and flavorful, it's like, oh my god! Right, my parents many years ago. This is like 15 years ago.
Sorry to interrupt, but Chris, didn't you have a hard out time today?
Oh shit! Yes, but this is this is hot sauce talk. This is important. My parents had a they bought this jar of spice called The Last Word from this Indian guy that came down to the farmer's market, and he's long since departed. Probably like at this point, he may very well be deep in retirement. But
you made it sound like he's dead.
You did, yeah.
Well, he might be dead. Like he was quite old, not to labor on a stereotype or nothing, but
old people like, die sooner than younger people, generally.
No, I mean like this wise old Indian fella with his jars of mystical spices.
Did he just disappear into the ether, really? You know, is that what happened?
Well, this jar called The Last Word was, I've never tasted anything like it. It was super hot. So you only used the smallest scoop of it. And if you used a small scoop in and you managed to like dilute it enough, it'd be fine. But the actual taste of it was, I've never tasted anything like it before or since. And because it was so hot, it literally lasted for like over 10 years. And I think we've used it up all now, but I feel like my chance of that spice died with him.
Do you like a lime pickle?
I like that because it's got
some heat, but it's got an interesting, it's very different from a hot sauce. It's just got a very interesting, weird.
Yes, kind of, I think I can do, yeah, with a bit on a poppadom. Hard out, yes, right. I like the pirate guy. I'm coming around to him.
He's great. Ashford is fucking great.
Ashford, yeah, right. He is a little less ominous in this one. I think maybe the last episode, he was meant
swinging
to be a
his
little...
dick around to let everybody
the whole. I think there. the whole dynamic with him. I think is he talking a good game? Does he really believe it, or has he got an ulterior motive? I think that's the question with him, because everything he's saying is being really nice, and we should all work together and try to reconcile with drama and so on. It's about whether he's being duplicitous or not, I think, is the tension there.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that he's not. In fact, I'm starting to think, like, but then again, I don't know if you're guiding me on this one. Mm-mm. Because it seems like Ashford is... he's like the one that is the reformed pirate, where it's
sorry,
like...
I'm guiding you now.
he was once a pirate, but he doesn't want to be a pirate. He wants the belt to thrive or, uh-huh. To do well. And I think Kamina is a little bit like she's very much attached to the ways that have worked for her.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's that. I think she's attached to the cult, to the culture, to the anarchic. Yeah, we don't follow the rules.
Well,
I think
yeah,
it's more an emotional. Well, No, because Fred's approach is what's worked for her, is what's put her in the position she's in. It's quite the opposite.
I suppose you got a point there, yeah.
That is true, yeah.
She in herself, she argues with Ashford, but she's also in a bit of conflict with herself, I think, because, what has worked for her and what she admires and what she attaches to is Fred's approach. While herself, she seems to more, when she's talking, she seems to more embody Dawes's approach.
Yeah, you can see the Dawes in her, you can see the influence, you can see the approach.
Okay, fair point. I was agreeing with Chris, now I'm saying, no, fuck you, Chris, don't be so stupid.
Chris. I think that she is, these are her Dawesian roots. I also like this scene, because it's like you got the Mormon shite on the background there, and then he's like he's just chilling on
the barrier.
Yeah, like it's like it's a bit and the yellow. So I think is yellow going to be the
I think yellow. Yeah, I think yellow is the Belter theme color. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So Lib Dems Belters.
I like yellow.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Inner Lorder.
The colour of cowardice and urine.
We all know nonsense.
we all know that the Lib Dems are Earth in this regard.
Yeah, yes. I mean, President Mann could not be more Lib Dem.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like the
concept of liberal Democrats in a personified.
I would say more Democrat from the States, but yeah.
I mean, like, in American context, yeah, that very much so. Yeah,
because he like I don't, like at least like because I think British Liberal Democrats do on some occasions have personality.
Ed Davey's sort of bland but amusingly.
I like Ed Davey out a bit as well. Sorry,
you know, he's a weird dichotomy.
It's like blandness and charisma are maxed out. Like he has a ton of charisma. But also incredibly dull. Like
yeah, yes. A lot of blandness.
Like a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. I should be ashamed of myself. But Ed Davey on the campaign trail, he tickled me. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want our politics to become that.
But I don't want our politics to be Farage and Starmer.
No, I want to go back to, you know, people.
John Major.
Competent people doing the job. Yeah. That's what we
want to
like.
Go back to Anaya Bevin.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
that's where we'd like to go back to.
Dennis Skinner, PM. Is it Dennis Skinner? Which is the older one?
He's a bit too. He's a bit too.
Raucous.
He would be. That's like taking Anderson Dawes and putting him in a parliament. Like that doesn't make sense. That's not where Anderson Dawes fits. He should be out there fighting.
Dennis Skinner was in Parliament.
No, I know he was, but he was. He didn't get anything done because he was so abrasive. Yeah.
I get that.
I love him. I admire the shit out of him, and it was an important voice at the time. But you know, he's not. You know, PM.
I mean, I would give him a go over a lot of others, though.
Me, Corbyn.
Corbyn
had
the right amount of
plan
to make it work.
Yeah.
Corbyn did get a lot of things done under the radar in his time. Mm. I even know before he ran for the Labour Party for the first time, he was always known amongst progressive circles as the friendly, the one you talk to if you want your foot.
No, that's
the door.
What I'm saying. He is PM material, is what I'm saying. Yeah, he's got the quality. He's able.
It depends how we're defining the culture here and what we want the culture to be, right?
No, for
because
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
If we want some like, because if we're in the theatre politics mode, as it were, then Dennis Skinner would be great. I don't want
theatre politics. Theatre politics.
You don't want that, yeah.
What Ed Davey's doing leads to, because who would be better at that than Ed Davey? Any celebrity. It leads into celebrities.
I disagree on that one.
It's just about grabbing headlines.
And
it's
that's
just about
what frog
getting
face
the cameras
is all
on
about.
You.
That's what Frog Face is all about. It's just, yeah.
And
the BBC, and the BBC are fucking platforming him to hell at
but
the moment.
Yeah, but that,
and now
I
they're
mean,
saying,
know...
"Oh well, he's an MP now," and it's like, "Well, so were the Greens, and you've never given them as much."
Well, I mean, to be fair. The Greens were never as entertaining as him. This is the problem with the left. We're not willing to be like that, to be raucous.
But the point
be...
is that somebody like the BBC shouldn't be putting somebody on because they're entertaining, though.
No, they shouldn't, but that's the world we live in.
No, but
like,
we could put Farage... a podcast on our grievances on the BBC.
Yeah, Farage is a very able... Farage is the most able politician in the last 30 years in Britain.
Yeah, and it hurts me every time someone says that. You know, like, it's... You know how the truth hurts? That's the fucking thing
the
that they were talking
hurting.
About.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like,
A stands for fascism, so it's like
exactly.
Fucking hell.
So I know you. I don't want to be in this game. I want my politicians to be boring. I like Mark Drakeford, right? Like, you know, and he was
in a parliamentary system. Yes. You need to be able to work with people and work within structures. Like, if you are inherently,
However, in the world that we exist, which is theatre of entertainment, right? Dennis Skinner would be the Farage of the left, and he'd be a good job
yeah.
at it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Didn't work. We can only would work now.
Yeah, we can only play the game that exists, right?
But like, I still wouldn't want him to be PM. I would want him to be maybe Deputy. As. Yeah, as Mal, what's his name? Corbyn's Shadow Chancellor.
John McDonald?
John McDonald,
McDonald. I would like McDonald. Him to be the McDonald figure. Yeah.
The attack dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Nixon.
The Nixon to whoever Nixon was vice president to. Anyway.
But the thing is.
No, Johnson's the other side. I get mixed up with Americans anyway.
Yeah.
You never really know which side's which.
Sorry?
It wasn't Roosevelt, was it?
No.
Anyway, guys, if Truman?
Okay.
If Chris has a time limit, we've really
okay,
got
yeah,
to...
Yeah. Thank you, Hamish. That's,
I'm fine. I'm Eisenhower, obviously.
That's
the one. Yeah. You're saving me from myself. Don't worry, Hamish.
Bent down with that much food in my stomach.
Just to complete my thought, sometimes a leader is one of those people that rallies the troops but then has the delegation skills.
I mean the media way of saying this is wartime consigliere versus peacetime consigliere, right?
It's
the other problem with Frogface is that he's not got any substance either. He probably could become prime minister in the current climate,
mm-hmm.
but he won't be able to run things.
I don't think he's got anybody around him
that can run things either.
I think he's a fairly intelligent dude. I think his problem with running things is running things in a way.
It's cynically intelligent, I suppose.
The problem when you're anti-establishment, when you become. When you become the establishment, how the fuck do you reconcile those two things? And Trump somehow managed it, but yeah.
But Trump managed it with lies and deception.
Well, that's what Frogface is doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's telling everybody he's a man of the people. He's a fucking venture capitalist, London banker.
I mean, at this point, and I know I shouldn't think like this, that the people have to like have something to answer for here, because it's not even a particularly convincing
I think people overcomplicate it. We've mentioned it before, but it's that battle within the right between bourgeois capital and global capital. That's what we're witnessing. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's the only two sides that are getting a chance.
It's not more complicated than that.
Amos is interesting in this episode. Amos is very interesting in this little segment because he's doing a lot more things. Like, Naomi's not here. Holden's off the handle. Has Amos become the voice of reason?
He sort of has, very much so.
Because
even Alex is not quite as grounded as he was. I think he's got a lot of shit going on because of his family thing. And of course, Monica brings that up as it sort of riles him a bit, doesn't it?
Actually, while we're on Alex, I love that. Because, we've said before, like, the writers don't seem to like Alex anymore. I love that these reporters, every time Alex is like, yeah, I'll tell you this story, and they're just like, cool.
Yeah, that's great. You get us later on, and we'll write on that. There's one bit where they do pay attention to him, but that's because I can't remember what it is, but he says something where Monica's like, oh, this actually might be an intro. And I think it's because he's talking about something to do with Holden.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. I think that's
the only time she pays attention to him.
But no, I think what's happening with Amos is, a while back he explicitly said, I'm trying to make my own decisions. Prior to that, he's never trusted himself to make his own decisions because he thinks he's the monster. He thinks he's Amos's monster. But then he was practicing taking charge of things himself, and now I think he's understanding that yes, I can make good decisions myself. He's gained self confidence, and this is an emerging self confident Amos who understands that he can make good decisions in certain circumstances.
God, I wonder what that's like.
He's qualified. He qualified himself. But also one thing I did.
Can I just say something where I think Amos. Is almost a letdown in this episode compared to how Naomi would be. It's when they're trying to find the problem with the ship, and he's got—he's obviously got the same equipment and everything, but he's like, he just can't find out where Naomi would be like, boing, it's this, it's that. Yeah. You know, yeah. And I'm not saying it's like he's good at his job, but he's more of a. He's not as creative a thinker when it comes to the mechanical stuff.
Mm. She's a more talented. Mm. She's a more talented engineer
than
him.
Very talented. Yeah.
Like diagnostician.
Yeah, yeah, but again, this is you know, yeah, very good. This is clever sort of clever narrative, clever plotting that you know they did it while Amy Naomi run over the ship. Yeah, this would.
You wouldn't believe that she was struggling as much as Amos is to work out what's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Actually, that's the thing I'm probably most jealous about you, Drew. You have a great brain for, like, I've come to you with problems and you've just zapped, you're just like, oh, it's this, it's probably this, and you've just got, like, you just see through things that are completely blind me.
Again, like what was that, it's literally just practice. Like, you know, you break things, you mend them, and then you learn, you know what the solution to certain things
is. Yeah, but you see, you like, but sometimes you see things that I don't see, even though we both know the thing, right? Like with Project Zomboid, with that thing where it's like, oh, well, let's like have a look at it being a case issue, file name case issue. It's like, I like that obviously could have been an issue, but like it just didn't enter my brain. And it's like,
yeah, Drew's got a good analytical brain. Yeah.
I do agree that I am very smart and very cool.
I think we're all very smart, but in interestingly different ways, which is why I think this podcast works.
Yeah, I agree.
Smart
and cool.
Yeah. I love it.
If there was a word that applied to Drew, it would be modest.
Oh, I don't think any of us are modest.
No, I don't think so.
I don't like being complimented.
No, I don't.
I really don't. I don't like being complimented, and I don't like being thanked. Like a little thing, like, oh, thank you for doing that. That's all. I don't want effusive. Mm-hmm. But then when I'm thanking somebody, I think I'm too effusive. I'm like, oh, you do that. It's so amazing.
I can balance it out with a mild insult.
I think I'd hate myself as the other. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, same. Yeah.
Okay, here's a mild insult for you, Drew. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that you still buy British tobacco when you probably know how to use the dark web and or people that can bring it in tax-free.
Yes, this is bought in Britain legally.
I can read the label on it.
I've got a friend, and I know who.
Oh, is this one? This one actually.
I've got a friend who smokes Golden Virginia, and he has a big Golden Virginia pouch, which has all the British legal things on it, and he just empties the stuff into it all the time.
So I will say a member of my family is an international truck driver.
Yeah, and I will also say that my friend's dealer was my mum because she used to go abroad all the time.
Well, good old EU days, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's changed. That's probably changed. But I mean, no, she'll get it all over the world, really.
No, but
free and all that.
I don't like being complimented, but I enjoy being criticised in a way where it's something like, oh, that's something I can improve. That's something I can work on. I genuinely do like being told, you did that wrong. Mm-hmm. You can do this, you know, or that was stupid, you know.
Right, well, do we have any things to focus on before we run out of time?
Yeah, I think the religious contingent of the Thomas Crapper or whatever it's called are so insufferable.
Yeah, I said that last week, didn't I? Or last episode, rather. I mean, it was only yesterday. No, 2 days ago. But, most of them are so fucking dull.
They're supposed to be, right? You know, the dinner party where the dude's going over on this ground. He's supposed to be annoying.
Philosophers and everything as well, though, on that ship.
Mm. But the kind of...
We just keep seeing the religious
ones. The kind of artists and philosophers and religious people that a government would choose to be on something would be the dullest, most banal. It's like the poet laureate is always like the most fucking banal poet of our time.
And they have to be establishment as well, which is why I really fucking hate the supposed... There's, you know, I'm not going to name anybody in particular because I can't remember most of the names, but...
the one that we should hate, though, the upper bourgeois socialite one who's kind of befriending, she's the one I like. She's the one we should hate, really, but she's great. I love her.
Yeah, she's got a personality.
Yeah. No, yeah, but like if you were a socialite, like, you'd come on that ship.
That's the thing. She understands, she's got class awareness. She understands her position.
Yeah. But she's also, she dresses in a weird way. She's got like what looks like smart clothing, but then the sleeves have got that's a meshy thing.
Oh yeah, like so Little Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, it's kind of like semi-casual. You know, it's like a sort of slight rebellion. You know, it's like a,
I think on her
suit
Twitter
with a fancy tie or whatever sort of thing going on. You know, but in a much more expensive and classy way than you know.
On her Twitter, I imagine she would describe herself as a mess. And then she's like, you know what I mean? Like she's that in a cool way. Like
yeah,
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I think Instagram, also, but I get the point.
Yeah.
Also, I was about, you see what I mean? If you see that suit, if you don't see the arms, right, you just see the suit, it all looks really, you know, buttoned down and thing. But then the arms are sort of lacy and meshy and everything, and it's like, there's a sort of, as I say, sort of wacky tie with the dark suit sort of look to that outfit. Mm. But in a much classier way than that, you know, obviously.
It's like she knows how she's supposed to look, but she doesn't care and is like, you know,
she pushes it slightly. Yeah. I'll also say that Anna is really nice in this episode. And
when she goes after Peaches.
Goes after Melba, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is about Anna as well, I think Anna's character, I don't know if it's because she was written to be... hang on, I'm going to look her up in a minute. But I don't want to lose the thread of this. I'll look her up in a minute. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she was written in the show from multiple characters from the books or something.
Hmm.
I just wonder if that's the...
She does seem to have had a character change, because I like
not
this Anna.
Who am I talking about?
Not Anna.
I oscillate. I think it's her in different situations. You get different sides of her in different... Like in a political situation, she's annoying as fuck because she's too naive for that. She's too politically naive. But in a people situation, she's great. Because like,
Anna.
Yeah, what we see in that moment where she follows Peaches is like she's really empathic. And she recognized just from glancing at her that this is a woman who is in, you know, is distraught. And I'm going to follow her and see if I can help her. Like she gets people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Given the description she has in the books, and now I remember it. I think I'd rather. I want the actress that they should have had. I mean, I like Elizabeth. What's her face? She's a nice and very attractive woman. But, anyway.
Matron.
I like her in this one because she's the one that cuts through the bullshit in this particular. Like, because the thing is, I think she's probably a little bit airy, fairy, spiritual. But I think a lot of. She strikes me as the kind of person that uses the infrastructure of the church to like help people, open soup kitchens.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that, you know? Yeah.
So that's the more important.
I mean, we know. I mean, this is clever of the show to make it very explicit. She's not the kind of American Christian that you're thinking of because she's got she has a lesbian wife or you know a same gender wife. Like she, you know, it's that's the show going. No, she's not the hateful kind of Christian. She's
In the books, I don't think she even comes into it until this point. I don't think she's the same person that's involved with the former president in the books.
I think part of why we're responding to her in this situation is I think she's a person who demands authenticity. She responds to even when she's talking to boring science men. She likes it when he's just being enthusiastically sciencey. And when he's being a little bit like combative regarding religion, she sort of slaps him down a bit and says, "No, I'm not interested in that. That's theater. Let's talk about like the real shit."
I
came here on a spaceship, not in the wings of an angel.
She demands authenticity. And
she
I
noticed that she looks completely different as well in this. Her hair's all
which
you'd think would be her hair would all tied up and everything like that. You'd think that would be the political look.
Yeah, but gravity. That's a budget issue.
I don't think I've got much else to say on that front. Sorry, I'm just
My mind has moved on to the thumbnail now.
Well, before we get completely distracted from the show, I just love it. It brought a little tear to my eye to hear Miller say again, "Keeps rain off my head." Like it's lovely.
Yeah,
it's touching.
So he's obviously saying things that
keeps the rain off my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, one of the things I'm trying to work out is is what's happening here, like, is he communicating through what is effectively like sound bites?
It's, yeah, so this, I mean...
Oh, yeah, this episode makes it a bit more clear, doesn't it? I was going to say, oh, I can't say anything. Yeah, what it does, it's taking Miller's memories and particular anecdotes that he's got and using them as a sort of metaphor. And what he's basically saying is, you don't, because he says, like, the anecdote he uses is where him and a rookie cop are going into a dangerous situation, and he's telling the rookie cop not to rush in.
Ah, yeah. Oh, like so go slow through the gate.
Go slow through the ring, yeah, is the message. And Holden gets that and has to...
I love that you keep saying... You keep saying doors and corners, which doors is something he said when he was...
It's a bit in the feels as well, doesn't it?
It does, no, it does, corners, yeah. It really does, especially the hat thing. Yeah, it really did hit me, yeah.
Yeah, the doors and corners was the one that hit me, I think, the most.
Interesting.
But, like, for the same reasons, I think.
Yeah. Same thing, yeah.
Because I think with him and Diogo as well, like...
Lieutenant Diogo?
Lieutenant Diogo,
How far he's come. Our little Diogo, first time we saw him, stealing water, getting beaten up by Miller, and now he's a lieutenant. I'm so proud.
Yeah. Lieutenant in the OPA Navy.
Yeah, but also in this part, there's a part that's, like, a bit scary about him.
No, I love it. Yeah. He's a teenager. Yeah,
he has changed a bit, though. He has changed a bit.
Yeah.
He's one of the few characters where situations don't change and he stays the same. It's the other way around.
Yeah, the situation changes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, the changing situations of, you know, growing him up. Growed him up.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so in the end, what happens is I don't want to say too much because have you got a picture of the end part? Because rather than me describe it and say anything out of turn, I'd rather you showed us the picture of it and we just said, because what happens is we see them somewhere else, effectively. And the Rosnanti is...
Oh my god, sorry, but the fucking drone guy's face is even more annoying when he's going into the high G.
Okay. It's because his jowls flap around. Everybody else is kind of like... he's like... Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Stupid cunt. Hate you.
Oh my goodness me.
Actor, yeah, because I thought... Fucking actor's doing an amazing job.
Yeah, the actor does do a good job. Because he's... Yeah, you'd have to be very deliberate to make him come across the way.
It's something they covered in Ty and that guy. Like, actors, broadly speaking, they want to be cool. They want to play somebody cool. And this is very brave to play somebody just loathsome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even, like, villainous loathe. Just...
Yeah, just...
Ugh. Irritating, like...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, so... Yeah, because it's not like he's chewing the scenery and going twiddling his moustache. But he still makes you realise that he's not... It's a good job of the acting. Yeah. Have you found a picture, Chris?
Well, I've seen a bit like of the very last bit.
Yeah, the very last bit, because I want to sort of describe it without saying anything out of turn, basically.
Okay, so I think this is
the
story you mean.
The bit with the missile. And, yeah, that's it, right. Chris, could I ask you to sort of duck out the way? Sorry. Just for a second.
Fuck off, Chris.
Yeah, fuck off, Chris. That's it. Stay fucked off for a second. Right. So just to say that what we've got now is the Rosinante being chased by a missile that doesn't seem to be moving. And then we've got the sort of distorted starfield thing going on as well. You can come back now, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, so some of the stars look wibbly. Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, Drew's disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Drew is now just a circle and a square. Oh, there he is.
You get me out.
Nothing. Right, okay.
You actually have an icon. I don't have an icon, do I? I should get...
How do you mean?
You've got an
UO
icon.
I think that's from my Google.
No, from is it Gravatar?
Gravatar, yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I've got one of those somewhere.
I'm pretty good. Thanks to Key Pass, I regularly go
That's
over
when I
my
keep
old.
All my asses.
Yeah. It's great for ass storage. Line them up. Just go. I go through old accounts that I don't use or think that I should, like, you know, delete the data from and all that kind of stuff. And what Gravatar was one of them. In fact, I don't know if Gravatar was like one of those ones where sometimes if I can't delete an account, I'll stuff it full of bullshit data and then just
let it ride off into the sunset and it's on.
I use
bullshit data from the outset.
Definitely. It depends. Like my rule is if I'm going to buy something off of it, it tends to get real data.
Yeah, because you need to. Especially if you need a refund later or something, and they go, "Well, this isn't even you. What the fuck are you talking about?" Yeah.
I had that actually. I did have that once. But no, if I'm going to buy, I use my real name, but everything else is bullshit because that's all it compares with. You know.
Right. Is that all of the episode?
Yeah, I think we've not. Yeah. It's a bit of a. Yeah, we've kind of we've bumbled around it.
Yeah,
we didn't really go into detail about some of it, but we got the broad strokes.
Well, there's one bit that I think is go back to something we talked about earlier. The video with Holden when he's talking about claiming the ring for the OPA.
Oh yeah, the fake video thing, the deep fake.
Yeah, That does not look like that. Doesn't he doesn't talk like Holden, right? Holden's done videos like that before.
That's where the AI has got it from, sort of thing. We can see it's constructed because we know Holden quite well.
Yeah.
So hopefully that means other people will. But you know, at this point in time, they don't have any opportunity to. You know, a ship's just been blown up. Holden, in inverted commas, says that more's going to happen. You know, it's everything's in, you know, the last sort of 5 minutes of the show are like in complete mad rush intensity, you know, between bombs going off and missiles being fired. And
it's kind of interesting that they.
And Drummer does eventually fire, you know.
Yeah, I know. That hurt. That one did.
But she had to. She had to. It was the only decision she could make, you know.
I guess so. But
luckily, the ship betrays her.
The
power goes out as she says fire.
And there you go as well. Also, when I was talking about the behemoth being a glass cannon, it's like it's not designed to have those kind of systems and all that stuff running on it. And it's you know, it might have the raw power, but the infrastructure's not there. And physically as well,
it's like trying to turn a cruise ship into a warship, right?
Yeah,
like, basically.
It's still it's big and tough and everything, but it's not set up the same way. The underlying structure of it is not meant for that. Yeah,
yeah, it's meant for ramming comets into planets.